This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Good morning. Good to see you. So much good stuff happening in church at the moment. Junior youth camps happening, Alpha Marriage. Fantastic course, by the way, if you are married, thinking about getting married. Any stage along the journey of marriage. Matt and I did that course a couple of years ago now, actually. Such a good investment. Brings up conversations that just often don't tend to happen unless you make intentional time to have them. So fantastic. Phil and Kate did a great job on the interview there. Dessert in bed sounded pretty good. And no group sharing. Did you hear that? But that sounds awesome. And we've got a fantastic speaker coming in a couple of weeks from Asbury. That's going to be a great day as well. But today, as Jacinta said, actually, how good was it to have Jacinta hosting us this morning? It's a bit of a treat for us because Jacinta Lewis is one of our kids pastors here at Discovery in our prep to grade four space. And most weeks she's in the prep to grade four room doing a fantastic job discipling our young people, and they absolutely adore her. And we're so grateful for you, Jacinta, for your investment. But Jacinta goes by the name JC around here on our team. And actually somewhere along the line, I can't even remember when, it must have been a camp of some kind, she became known as JC the MC. And so she was living into her nickname this morning in her MC role. So JC the MC, if you see her in the foyer after the service, especially if you are a parent of a grade prep to four child, student, give her a high five. Remind her she's doing a great job. She's such a gift to our church and doing a fantastic job, not just inside the four walls here, but at Southern Cross Kids Camp and in a whole host of things that she's doing. So we love you, Jacinta. You're awesome. Can we just celebrate Jacinta for a sec again? All right. Last week of the series, I'm not sure if they saved the best or worst for last, but today's a doozy. So I'm just warning you now, we're talking about the S word today. And the S word is submission. This is where you're supposed to go, dun, 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 dun. And actually, we're going to go, dun, 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 dun. It's going to be amazing. We're going to talk about the word submission today. But let's be honest. Who likes being told what to do, really? Anyone willing to admit they really love being told what to do? You know it's your favourite day, though, when you're at work, right? And for weeks and weeks, you've been working on a project. And then that fateful moment happens when your boss walks in and she says, we're scrapping all of that. We're changing it all. Start again. You just love it, don't you? You love that day when that happens to you. Or maybe it's when you are driving in your car and your passenger consistently likes to remind you that they are in fact the expert in residence in the car that you are in and likes to point out all the things you are doing wrong in your driving. Or perhaps they're just that person that always knows a quicker way, a better way to get somewhere. Don't look at your partner. Maybe it's just that you have a sibling or a friend who just has to get their own way all the time. Again, don't look at the person next to you. If you're sitting next to that person. You know those people though, like the my way or the highway kind of people. I have one older sister and we're fantastic friends now. However, this was not always the case because she was a very bossy big sister when I was growing up, and it was always her way or no way. Not even a highway, just no way. But present day, I'd like to invite you into our kitchen. Matt and I share the cooking at our house. Anyone else share the cooking at their house? Yeah, come on. Anyone else have a very different cooking style to the person they share said cooking with at their house? Amen. Okay, so in our house, okay, first of all, where are the recipe people? You just love a recipe, recipes. There was a lot of recipe people in the 9 o'clock. I wonder if there's a link to early mornings and recipes. Anyway, someone can do the stats on that later. Where are the people who, you know, recipe, schmecipe, it's like all about just feeling it, the vibe. You're the vibe cookers. Okay. So this is our house, okay? Actually, I'm definitely anchored in the recipe moment. Recipes are there for a reason. Really good framework and structure. I do, however, like to tweak a little bit, riff off the recipe. Matt, my husband, however, is way, way, way down the vibing at end of cooking. He is just like, I'm just feeling a bit of this and a bit of that. I'm just gonna, you know, just add a bit of that. And it just goes on and on. And I you know, just try to very patient. I like to sit in the kitchen while we're cooking. Does anybody else just hang in the kitchen while the cooking is happening? Yes, so I sit at the bench and I'm just silently seething in my chair because he's doing everything wrong. And I'm trying my hardest not to say you're doing everything wrong, because who knows, that's a real mood killer when you, like, especially for a creative person, when you say to them, when you try and give them any kind of feedback around a creative process, that can be very difficult and it can bring the mood right down and dinner gets very uncomfortable. You can imagine how much he loves it though, because I just sit there thinking, no, that's not how you do it. That's wrong. All of it's wrong. But really, it's just not the way I would do it. So you can imagine how much Matt loves that. So I'm telling you the story while he's not here, because he'd be writhing in his chair over here if he was here this morning. He's down at Frankston. It's true though, isn't it, Lucy? You can bear witness to that. I'm working on it, guys. I'm a work in progress. I'm being redeemed day by day. But the truth is this, most of us don't like to naturally submit. We don't like being told what to do. We like to be in control, and we much prefer it when everybody else around us adjusts to us and to our way of doing things. Even the most selfless people amongst us like to get their own way too some of the time. It starts early. Does anyone have a toddler? Yes, not many, because they're all at our 9 o'clock service. But if you have ever watched a toddler, you will know this to be true. Toddlers like to let you know their deep passion and conviction for exercising their will and control over things. You just have to watch them sit in their booster seat at the table with their food in front of them, and then said food is all over the floor in a heartbeat. Why? Because they can. Because the food was not glued down to the plate. So what a great place for it to be, but on the floor. Or perhaps you have seen a three-year-old at the shops, or maybe you've taken your own three-year-old to the shops, and they just decide in the middle of the shops that they're going to lie down on the floor because they just do not want to go where you want them to go. And they will lie on the floor and exercise their passionate will and conviction for their autonomy until you end up somehow convincing them or coaxing them or potentially dragging them to where you need them to go. Now, we might not throw tantrums like toddlers anymore, at least not outwardly. Though, however, who like me, there are occasions when I wish I could just lay down on the floor and bang my legs and arms, and, you know, it would not be age appropriate. People would look at me strangely. But I have days like that, maybe you do too, where you just think, I just want to lay down on the floor and I do not want to do this. And I do not want to go where I have to go or do the things I have to do. You can't make me. But we tend to do that more internally as we get older. We just throw internal tantrums instead. And, you know, it's because this idea of submission is hard for us to come at, and because it runs counter to that human drive we have for autonomy. And to be honest, it's because often as well, many people have experienced more pain than they have freedom when it comes to this topic of submission. So how has it become lost in translation? We almost called this series Icky Words. We tossed up a few things, but we landed with lost in translation, and this is certainly a word that has become lost in translation. Couple of quick reasons. The first is this. Individualism is idolized in our modern culture. In the cultural moment that we live in, what is prized is autonomy, self-expression, personal freedom. We live in a culture that preaches, live your truth, you do you. You've heard me speak about this before. It accidentally went viral the last time I said that, so hopefully that won't happen this time. But that's the culture we live in, hyper-individualism. So submission, the idea of yielding your way or submitting to someone else's idea, even God, feels like weakness or failure in our culture. Second reason, submission has been distorted and abused. Sadly, submission in some church and cultural contexts has been misused to silence people and to control people, and it's actually caused a lot of harm, particularly to women and vulnerable people. Third thing is this, we confuse equality with uniformity. Our culture struggles with the idea that you can be equal in dignity and worth and yet choose to yield to another person's authority or way. We assume that submission implies inferiority, when in fact what we're going to discover today in Scripture is that that's not the case at all. And fourth thing is this, submission requires trust, but it assumes that the one you're submitting to is trustworthy. And we live in a world of broken trust with leaders, with institutions, in churches, in workplaces. And so you can understand how people can be hesitant, how we can be hesitant to yield ourselves to another person's authority when there's so much broken trust around us. And in the church, I just want to say this really clearly this morning, the value of submission has been sometimes misunderstood and misapplied and seen as unquestioning loyalty, even when something is clearly wrong. When we reduce submission to be about compliance, it can keep people silent in the face of harm and it can allow injustice to go unchallenged. And that leaves deep wounds in individuals and communities. And I just want to acknowledge that right at the beginning because I know there will be people in the room today who have not had a great experience with the way that submission has been modelled and practised in communities that you've been a part of across your story of faith. And I want to acknowledge that pain. And I also just want to encourage you that a healthy vision for submission exists. And that's what we're going to actually discover together today. So stay with me and hang in there if you're thinking, oh, this word is really quite triggering for me or it makes me just cringe. It's going to be a good day and the Lord's doing something significant. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get stuck into the scripture. So Father, I thank you that you are a good God with a good design for us and for the world that you have created. And I pray, Lord, today that I just thank you that you know every story in the room and we just come to you just as we are with our pain, with our joy, Lord, and with the things we're wrestling with. And I just pray, God, today that you'd give us a fresh vision of your nature and your truth as we open scripture today. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We okay so far? Good, 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 good. Okay, so we've talked about some of those quick cultural struggles that we have with this idea of submission, but actually we can trace this wrestle for humanity all the way back to Eden. First few pages of scripture, God lays out some fantastic boundaries for Adam and Eve to help them thrive and flourish, but it doesn't take them long to start to wrestle with those and to start to decide that they've got a better idea than God for their own lives and that their plans are probably better than God's. And they break. What happens is they break trust with God, they go their own way, and what they're hoping will lead them to freedom actually ends up leading them to a place of shame and of fear and of separation from God. And ever since that moment, it's almost like it set in motion a pattern for the people of God. And as we track the people of God through scripture, we see this pattern of times when they're submitted to the Lord and they're praising him and their attention and their affection and their devotion is on him. But then quickly, their hearts become hardened and rebellious and they're looking for other options and other solutions and they turn away and they follow other gods and they follow the things of the world. And this pattern goes on and on and on and it cycles around. You might remember when we did our series earlier this year on Judges. I think that was this year. Was it this year? Last year? Last year. My goodness, the year's going so fast. We saw that same pattern though. The people want a king. God gives them a king. They like the king for a while. Then they decide no. And this pattern just keeps going around and around. And that's where we find ourselves today. And I want to read you this story from Isaiah because the prophets continually called out this struggle that we have, the people of God, which is you and I, and the people of God, their story all through history of being able to submit ourselves to God's leadership and follow his ways. Isaiah calls it out in this passage in Isaiah 30, it'll be on the screen for you. And he says this, he's prophesying and he says, "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin, who go down to Egypt without consulting me, who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Though they have officials in zone and their envoys have arrived in Hanes, everyone will be put to shame because of a people useless to them who bring neither help nor advantage, but only shame and disgrace. Through a land of hardship and distress, of lions and lionesses, of adders and darting snakes, the envoys carry their riches on donkeys' backs, their treasures on humps of camels to an unprofitable nation, to Egypt, whose help is utterly useless. Therefore, I call her Rahab the do-nothing. Go now, write it on a tablet for them, inscribe it on a scroll, that for days to come it may be an everlasting witness. For these are a rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, 'See no more visions.' And they say to the prophets, 'Give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel.'" This is a tough passage. It's quite confronting if you allow those words just to sink in for a moment. But what's happening here is that Isaiah's confronting Judah's leaders for turning to Egypt for help instead of turning to God for their deliverance and for their rescue. At the time, Assyria was the regional superpower, and there's a lot of things going on here, but what we see is Judah anxiously and frantically clamoring for control in a difficult situation, and they're doing it by trying to form military alliances and political alliances with the regional superpower rather than trusting that God had everything under control and would lead them and deliver them and rescue them as he had promised to do so. A picture of frantic striving and clamoring. And the leaders of the day, these people of God, they did not like it at all that Isaiah was challenging them on how they were living. They were offended at the way that he was speaking to them and what he was prophesying. And the saddest moment in this conversation is when we hear the people of Judah say, "Give us no more visions. Just tell us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel." Now, we're in the Old Testament here, but you know what? This is not so far from the reality of the way we experience life and relationship with God today, because how many times do we feel like this when we pray, "Lord, speak to me. Lord, I'm here. Here I am. I just want you to speak to me today, Lord. Just would you just tell me what it is that you have for me? What's your will for my life?" And then the Lord is faithful and he speaks to us, but we don't like what he says. And we say back to God, "Oh, hang on a second, God, I wanted you to speak to me, but what I actually wanted you to say was these things on my perfect plan here, not what you just said. So can you just take that back and say this instead?" Or we ask the Lord for a vision. We say, "God, can you just give me a vision for my future, or a vision for this particular thing going on in my life, for my family?" And the Lord is faithful and he gives you a vision. But we don't like what we see. And we say, "God, actually, that wasn't like, I did ask for a vision, but that's not what I wanted to see. Can you take that back and show me something else? Actually, God, could you just tell me pleasant things? Don't tell me the truth. Just tell me things that are easy for me to hear. Tell me pleasant things. Prophesy illusions." Sometimes the truth is hard to hear, and so we'd rather God prophesy false things to us because it's more palatable and easier for us to come at. What this looks like sometimes in our lives when we find ourselves struggling to submit to God's authority and his lordship is we actually stop praying that prayer, God speak to me. We stop asking God for visions. We stop opening the scriptures because we're worried that at what we might find the Lord inviting us to, and we're not sure if we can come at that. So if that's an area of struggle for you at the moment, it might just be a little clue to something deeper going on underneath, that there's a wrestle there for submission and power and authority and control in your life. But it's not so different to the struggles that we have. At least it's not so different from my struggles. I know this is a challenge for me. I feel really confronted by this passage of scripture. And this prophecy from Isaiah, it's a strong warning against self-reliance, misplaced trust and rejecting God's way. But I want to say this, autonomy and agency are really good things. They're actually good gifts that the Lord gives us. It's part of how he created us to be, an ability to choose, to create, to take responsibility. But we weren't designed to live as if we were self-sufficient. We were created to exercise that autonomy, independence on the one who made us. And our agency actually finds its truest expression when it's surrendered to God's greater purposes. So autonomy and agency aren't bad. It's just where they're positioned and where, how we let them find their expression in our life. So how do we break free from this struggle? Submission, it's a struggle for each of us. Well, I want to offer the invitation today to rediscover God's good design for submission. Because God's design for submission is mutual. It's purposeful, it's Christ-honoring, it's not about power imbalance or control, and it's not about inequality. In fact, healthy submission seeks the good of others, it speaks the truth in love, it creates space for integrity and justice to flourish, and we see this modeled best in the life of Jesus and in the unity of the Trinity. I want you to think about that unity, the Father, Son, and Spirit. Perfect harmony, this perfect collaborative community of mutual love and deference. We see this in scripture. The Son submits to the Father, not out of inferiority, but out of loving unity. It's in John 5:19. You can have a look later. The Spirit submits to glorify the Son in John 16. The Father honours and defers to the Son in John 5. It's a beautiful picture. A divine dance, if you like, and it reflects the very nature of God. Submission, this idea of mutual submission, really reflects the nature of God to us. And in this relationship, God doesn't seek to control you. I can't be more clear. God does not seek to control you. But he wants to draw you into the rhythm of his freedom and the fullness of the life that he has created for you. And it's a really good life. So what does it actually look like then to submit to God? What it sounds like is, Lord, lead me. It sounds like, and I honestly believe if we started every day with this prayer, it would be an absolute game changer in our lives. It sounds like this, God, I trust your wisdom above my own. I trust your plans above my preferences. I trust your timing above my impatience, and I trust your ways above my own way. Actually, what's beautiful is that submission to God is not passive. It's actually a posture of active trust, of laying down pride, of laying down control, choosing to align every part of who we are, our lives, our relationships, our vocation, our dreams, our future, our finances, every part of who you are, your health, and align it under the Lord. And this kind of surrender, it's not meant to diminish you. It's actually meant to free you and lead you to greater wholeness and shalom in your life. Beautiful picture of this peace in the whole of your life, that when we can find that place of alignment and submission to the Lord. And it's what Jesus modeled, you know, Jesus in the garden, not my will but yours be done. Simple, powerful prayer. Reminds me also of Mary. Doesn't come without a cost though, right? Remember Mary, she's like 15. Lord, the angel comes to her and says, I've got this assignment for you. You're going to carry the Saviour of the world into the world. And her simple but powerful prayer, let it be to me according to your word. Powerful, powerful prayer. We discover that true freedom isn't actually found in grasping control at all, but it's found in letting go and in emptying ourselves and trusting in the one who holds it all together, as Colossians says, to fill us. And this kind of submission, though, that God calls us to doesn't just stop with our relationship with God. In fact, it flows outward from there. It's where it starts, but it flows outward into how we relate to one another. And we're going to tackle a hard passage in a sec. Many of you will know the passage. It's a passage that it's often hotly contested. You might have heard it at weddings. It's a passage about husbands and wives. It's a passage that can cause people to just, you know, cringe in their seats and recoil a little bit. Sometimes because for us, this kind of passage feels outdated or it feels out relevant or it even seems to promote what our culture would call the toxic patriarchy. But we're going to tackle it today because when we read scripture, we don't just read the bits that we like the sound of, that are comfortable. When we read scripture at our church, we read all of scripture and we wrestle with all of scripture, even the stuff that's a bit icky that we're like, oh, this is like so old school. Because we believe that Lord has something to speak to us in it, okay? So just hang on, just hang in there. Some of you will be like, cool, I love this passage. And some of you will be like, I feel really triggered. But we're going to be okay, I promise you. Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and is himself its saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Everyone okay? Good. Okay. If you feel confronted and a bit like bristly, it's okay. You're all good. It's normal. It's all good. It's natural to feel a bit defensive when it sounds like the Bible's endorsing an oppressive view of marriage, because it does sound like that. It can sound like that if we read it like that and that's all we see. But when we come to scripture, we need to look at what was happening in the original context, people, place, time, audience, and actually discover what was going on in this story. So when Paul writes these words, he's speaking to a Greco-Roman world where patriarchy was unquestioned and wives were legally considered the property of their husbands. I know for us in 2025, it's like, this is just crazy. Like, how was this even the way? This was the way. Household codes of the day demanded the obedience of wives, children, and slaves, and never said a word about husbands. So that's what's going on in this moment. Now, can you imagine Paul, who comes in, inspired by the Spirit, and completely flips the script? And for the very first time, doesn't just address wives, but also speaks to the husbands. And he says to them, love your wives as Christ loved the church, with sacrificial, self-giving, servant-hearted love. What did Christ do for the church? Christ died for the church. So from a place where nothing was said to husbands at all, Paul comes in and says, wives, submit to your husbands, yes, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, sacrificially. Love them as though you would be prepared to die for them. It's radical. And so Paul is not reinforcing broken power structures of the culture. He's upending them by centering everything on Christ. What's really important to know, though, when we come to this passage of Scripture, we started at verse 5. Verse 4, the verse just before this passage, Paul says to them, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So before he addresses husbands and wives, he addresses everyone and introduces this idea for the first time of mutual submission. And can I tell you, church, the picture of a healthy church is mutual submission, when we are submitted to one another out of love and reverence for Christ, where no one's trying to wield their power over another or be the dominant person over another, but where we're submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ. And as a church, as a leadership, that's how we prayerfully strive to lead and model to you. In our eldership and with our team, mutual submission. It's such a beautiful picture, and it doesn't just stop at husbands and wives. The Bible goes on to talk about the way that citizens are required to submit to government leaders. It talks about the mutual submission between older people and younger people. There's lots of different spaces where mutual submission is spoken about in the New Testament. Paul was radically redefining relationships around the self-giving love of Jesus. And the tough thing is, it's hard because this passage has so often been weaponized, and it has been the cause of a lot of pain. But that's not the gospel, and that's not who Jesus is. Mutual submission is the picture of the gospel. Christian submission is about humility, not hierarchy. If it doesn't look like Jesus, it's not Christian submission. So, a better vision for submission. Team, you can come and join me. I hope that we've seen today together that even though our resistance to submission runs deep in our culture, in our history, even in our own hearts and our own experiences, for some of us, there is hope, because God's vision of submission is powerful. It's not about losing your voice. It's actually about finding freedom. And the radical reframe for us today is that submission is not about weakness. It's actually about strength. And it's about a strength that comes through Christ in us. So as we finish, I just want to bring us back to the passage that we began in, Isaiah 30. Those words, you know, it's my prayer that they would not be our words. Let me see no more visions. That's a sad and dark place to be. We don't want the Lord to just tell us pleasant things and prophesy illusions. We want to be big enough to actually say, Lord, lead me. Lord, speak to me, and be able to be obedient to respond to his leading and his call. But listen to this in Isaiah 30. It's actually verse 15. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Verse 18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for him. This is the kindness of God, right? Even when we resist him, God keeps pursuing us with compassion. And time again, he invites us back into his care. And this passage, it speaks to a God who offers rest and peace, not control. I hope you can hear that this morning, that submission actually invites us to an inheritance of peace. And I tell you what, in the anxious world we live in, an inheritance of peace sounds pretty darn good to me. Because you know what, when you know you're inside the will of God, when you know that you are, you know that you know that you know that you're fully surrendered, there is absolute peace, because the outcome doesn't depend on you. Even if the situation seems crazy and, you know, you're thinking, how is this all going to work together for my good? When you know you're in the will of God, when your heart is surrendered and submitted and fully aligned, there's peace there. And it's a great marker. This word in this scripture, in quietness, some of you might be, if you're a loud person, it's a hard scripture to come at, because you're like, oh, I don't like being quiet, that's boring. in quietness in this scripture actually means in being internally undisturbed. Anyone struggle with anxious thoughts sometimes? Amen. What a beautiful picture to be internally undisturbed. Far out. I pray that for you this morning, that we would have more of that in our lives, to be internally undisturbed in quietness and trust, trusting God, not in human power. So an opportunity to respond this morning. What if today we chose to let go of that need to be in control of everything all the time, and we allowed God just to meet us with his faithfulness? What if today we were courageous enough to lay down our own plans and trusted that his way really is better in life, in friendships, in the future? I'm aware in this service we've got some of our beautiful year 12s here, and we've got lots of our young adults here. A lot of you on the cusp of, God, what do you have for me? Your whole life's about to open up before you. It's an amazing opportunity for you at this point in your journey just to submit your heart to the Lord and say, God, I know your way's better. Even if I can't see it, even if I can't envisage it, even if I can't imagine how it's all going to come together for my good. But not just for our young people, this is a word for everyone. What if instead of throwing internal tantrums, we opted for a posture of quiet surrender and trust? I just preached that one to myself. I tend to throw a lot of internal tantrums. I'm probably the only one, but I'm happy to receive that one. You can receive it if it's relevant to you. I tell you what would happen. This is what would happen. We would definitely experience greater freedom in our lives, because releasing control and trusting God with the outcome lightens the burden a lot. We would definitely experience greater peace, and we would enjoy our lives a whole lot more. Peaceful person is a happy person. You know what? God wants you to enjoy your life, and peace is a pathway for that. We would definitely experience greater clarity as we come into alignment with God's plans and purposes for our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, you might know this, you might have had to learn this at some point. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding, but submit to him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. I love that scripture. You want to? Who's sick of the windy bends of life? Tell you what, that's a scripture to declare over your life. I get nauseous on the windy bends of life and in real life in the car. Much prefer to be driving on the bends. But I would love a straight path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Incredible promise. Our relationships would flourish because humility opens up a space for trust to be rebuilt and to flourish, healing and love. And the final thing is this: we would be a much better witness to the community around us if we were a people who practice mutual submission, because it is so radically countercultural to the world that we live in. What a powerful witness to be a community that mutually submits out of love for one another, rather than just constantly needing to wield control over one another. Honestly, that our actions preach the gospel louder than our words a lot of the time, and that's one of the ways that we can preach the gospel to our community. Why don't you stand with me? I want to pray for us this morning. As I've been preparing this message, well done, by the way, for hanging in there. Bit of a doozy, but a good one to go out on. It's been a good series. We actually, you know, we're really prayerful about the series that we do, and so we're trusting that the Lord has met you in this. But as I was preparing, there were two things that I felt like the Lord say he really wanted to do today. The first is this: there, for those of you in the room that have had a really hard journey with this word, with this spiritual principle of submission, I just felt the Lord just say to me this week, there's healing today. He wants to release you from the weight of that and from the pain of that, not so that you forget it because it's part of your story, but because he's a God who takes our pain and turns it into something beautiful in our story and something restorative. And so for those of you that have experienced pain in this area, I want to pray for you for healing this morning. And I'm faith-filled that healing will come to you, that the Lord wants to minister to you. That's the first group of people I want to pray for. And this is just for you in your chair. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. This is a moment for you to set your week up with the Lord. Second thing is this, alignment. I just feel like there's an opportunity for people. Jacinta already said it this morning in her hosting. She invited us to a refreshed, what were your words, Jacinta? A refreshed commitment to having the Lord at the center of our lives. Beautiful. So an invitation today to go, you know what? In this moment, on this day, I just want to bring myself back into alignment under the Lord's plans, good plans and purposes for my life. And I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to pray, Lord, speak to me. Lord, give me visions. And when He does, I'm going to commit to walking those out with courage and obedience. And so I'm going to pray, if that's you, just posture yourself, allow the Lord just to minister to you and to drop something fresh in your spirit today. So God, I thank You that You are a God who is gentle and who is compassionate, who sees us. God, I thank You for my friends in the room who are brave enough this morning to be wrestling through pain in this area, God. And I just ask, Lord, that right now, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would just bring release and healing from pain that has been caused, Lord God. I pray, God, where there's been a struggle to forgive, Lord God, that forgiveness would flow, that restoration would happen, Lord God, that we would be reminded this morning that Your burden is light. And so, God, release the heaviness in Jesus' name. And I just pray that, God, where there's been such pain, that You would actually begin to seed something beautiful in that place and renew hope in that place, Lord God, that there can be healthy submission and it can actually be something that's truly life-giving. And God, I want to pray too for my friends in the room who want to take an opportunity this morning to align themselves with Your heart, Lord God, with Your good plans and purposes. Lord, to come back into submission, Lord, to relinquish control, to pray that prayer, Lord, lead me. God, I pray that You would just give us courage to let go of things that feel hard to let go of because we want to control the outcome, God. But I pray that we would be reminded of the peace and rest that You offer when we come fully aligned and fully submitted and surrendered to You. So help us this morning with that, Lord. We know we're on a journey and we thank You that You journey with us every step of the way. So come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Continue to minister to us as we worship You now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.